While his influences lie in more traditional jazz, Charlie Elgard leans harder on contemporary sounds when it comes to his music. This is the Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. I'm Fred Macy. Charlie is an accomplished composer, producer, and arranger, not to mention his reputation for being meticulous at the mixing console. As a musician, Charlie calls himself a keyboardist, not a pianist. And if you listen to the many unusual textures he employs, you'll hear why. Our paths crossed a few years back, and we talked about his unique approach to jazz. Charlie Elgard, keyboardist. Did you always want to be a musician?
From the time I was in high school. And just before high school, sure, I wanted to be a professional musician. I wanted to go on the road, and I remember a friend's father of mine sitting in their family room saying, "What road would you like to go on?" And I really had no answer for him there. But I just said, "Yeah, I want to play music."
At that point, what kind of music were you into?
Jazz.
Oscar Peterson.
I was an Oscar Peterson freak. Bill Evans, McCoy Tyner.
Who's the first musician you heard? In fact, if you can remember, the first record that you heard that turned you on to jazz, where you said, "Wow, there's really something there. I've got to do something with this."
I remember that. It was Oscar Peterson. It was Just Friends.
Really?
Now, I don't remember what album that was, but the cut was Just Friends. At the time, I think I was 14 or 15 years old. Ran down to the kitchen, my brother and my mother in the kitchen, and I said, "Did you ever hear of Oscar Peterson?" I said, "Of course. You've never heard of Oscar Peterson." And I said, "Wow."
Blows you away. He still does.
I saw Oscar Peterson with Herbie Hancock at Avery Fisher Hall 4 years ago. Absolutely mind-blowing.
That had to be.
Yeah, because they're coming from, I can't say they're coming from two different worlds, but certainly, you know, it was diversified. I'll say that. And at one time, I remember reading an interview with Oscar Peterson where he acknowledged Herbie Hancock as the next keyboard master, and he certainly is.
Well, he's depending, I guess, on what he's trying to do. He's everywhere from "What Color Is the Sky in Your World" to, you know, just mainstream traditional type jazz.
Sure.
What are you trying to say with your music? Is there a message, an underlying statement that you are trying to make when you play?
Most definitely. We've got to get back to more real, organic places, ways of seeing the world, talking about even, you know, globally, environmentally. It's all the same bag to me. There's too much generic stuff going on.
Your music, to my ear, has some feeling in it, which a lot of the newer contemporary artists I'm not sure what statements they're trying to make, but they seem to lose the melody. Your music continues to be very melodic. It's contemporary, and yet I can feel the traditional roots when I listen to it.
Yeah, I'm into melodies. In fact, if it's not really there, I won't even bring it into a rehearsal. You know, they'll sit in the can for a long time. Another big influence on me was, just to get off on a tangent a little bit.
Feel free.
Was Antonio Carlos Jobim for his melodic and harmonic structures. And I used to listen to, I think the record was called Warm.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then there was one called Wave. You know, just incredible melodies. And Michel Legrand was a very big influence. I would say Marvin Hamlisch has written beautiful, beautiful melodies. But the two main influences going back were Antonio Carlos Jobim and Michel Legrand. So now, unless I come up with a melody that at least has that kind of, trying to fit into that ballpark, you know,
yeah.
I can't say that I'm reaching their stature at this point, but that's what I'm striving
Something
for.
Something to strive for.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an aspiration. Yeah.
What's the toughest gig you ever had?
Two things that would make a gig tough. One, a terrible sound man.
That'll do it.
And an audience that is just not attentive. And you run into them a lot.
What do you do in a case like that?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because just this morning, I was thinking about that. But I was thinking of just getting up in the microphone and saying, hey, you know, a couple of you people at the bar over there should be listening to this. It's good for you.
Okay, so you might interject something verbally.
Yeah, I haven't done it, but I'm working on getting up the guts to do something like that, sure. Because that's how most of the heavy cats have gotten over, you know, by just saying, hey.
Well, relating to the audience as opposed to simply getting up there and playing, and if they want to listen, well, so be
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, you have to talk to the audience. The audience wants to know the performer. You know, I've realized they want to know me because they hear my music, and they love to go one step further. They want to know me, and I dig that. You know, I want to know them too. You know, people are... nice to hang with people, you know, get beyond that superficial point.
What's been the, shall we say, the gig that's been the most fun for you? The most fun experience you've had musically playing as a performer?
Ever. I think the best gig, maybe not the best gig, but the most really happening gig was a gig at an art gallery down in North Brunswick. I think it was called Air Gallery. It was quite a few years ago. I did it with Mac Goldsberry, who's on this CD, and Pete DeTeo, a percussionist who I do some co-writing with. And we just took it out. You know, we just went in with some structure, but just took it out. It was great. It was in an art gallery, and they had a lot of very contemporary work there. And
were you in the groove, or was the audience in the groove, or are you saying both of you were?
Oh, the audience was digging it. Well, it was by invitation only. So... a lot of friends were there, you know, acquaintances. It was good. Yeah. It was real nice.
You feel you've paid some dues, Charlie Elgar? Or are you doing that now?
I'd say that's an understatement. I've done it. I am doing it now, and I expect to do it for some time coming, you know. Nothing has come to me on a silver platter. I think that's been good because I've reached... for the depth of my music shows, you know, I've just reached for things. I've gone further than if it came easily, you know.
Where do you want to be when you pop out of the other end of the tunnel, so to speak?
I would like to, at this point, we've got to hook up concertizing more, bigger venues. That's happening. Things are looking great for that. I'd like to move into doing some film work. I'd
scoring
like to have
you like films. The writing portion.
Oh, absolutely. I love scoring to picture, you know, to getting a good picture and putting music to it. But I want to be in a place where I'm independent enough so that I can pick and choose my gigs.
You seem very much your own person. You know where you want to go, and you're not letting too much dissuade you from that direction.
I've been knocked down many times, and I've gotten up. I'm beginning to feel a little punch drunk, so I'm ready to get out and start working with, you know, in the real world of major concerts and opening up for some major people, and that would be beautiful. You know, I've just always gotten up. I've gotten up. Time and time again, I've gotten up. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I've always gotten up.
It's easier when it's a labor of love, though, I think.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because then there's nothing else. You're not thinking about it as, oh, I'm knocked down, I'm getting up. You're just doing it because it's something that's coming in that third eye and coming out in the form of music.
It's way to go.
Yeah.
To some, it's referred to as gliding music or jazz light. To others, it's a kind of mellow rock. Me, I simply think of it as Charlie Elgart music. Whatever your senses tell you, it's a sound that ushered in a new wave of music, particularly in the late 80s and early 90s, even forming the basis for entire broadcast music formats at radio stations across the country. I want to thank you sincerely for taking the time to be with us here at the Mark of Jazz. I hope you've enjoyed my chat with Charlie Elgart as much as I've enjoyed sharing it with you. And if you'd like to hear something special or want to talk about things you like best, just leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. Until next time, let me remind you of something the very inventive Miles Davis once said. Don't play what's there, play what's not there.